Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Everything We Learned from The Simpsons. I'm one of your hosts, and my name's Mark.
Hi everybody, my name's Tom.
God, do you remember him, listeners?
Been hiding.
Rory B. Bellows himself.
Yes.
Tom, how on earth are you?
Yeah, I'm very good. I'm very tired. We are just had a busy year. That's why I've not done any podcast. And I think I've pretty much been busy because I've just done everything that you've also done, like get a new job, move house. Yeah. I've done all that too, but it takes it out of me.
Yeah, and you're getting married, so that's also a fucking fun thing to add to the list.
Yeah, and you're already married, so yeah.
Absolutely. I've had all that quote unquote fun.
Catching up with that. Yeah, later.
Absolutely.
In the year.
Absolutely. Exciting. Well, nobody pays us for this, so they can fuck off if they've got a problem with it. Nobody's listening. So we're the podcast that takes a look through a very British lens at an episode of The Simpsons from the first however many series. Were we doing
12.
11? 12? Were we doing 12?
12, yeah.
Good stuff, yeah. And this, it's our comeback special this week, isn't it?
Yes, it is, after a full year away. So
yeah.
This is our episode number 15.
Mm-hmm.
And episode number 14 we put out in December 2022. So
yeah.
2023
yeah.
was a bit... And I was looking, it must be like getting over 3 years since we recorded the first episode.
Oh, wow! Is it?
We put it out a bit later on in the year.
Yeah.
But that's 15 episodes in 3 years. That's like... It's like Fawlty Towers or something.
It's Britain's longest running sitcom, and we're showing all 7 episodes.
It's all good. It's not like, yeah, it's not your Friends or your Seinfelds.
No.
It's yeah. Very much, yeah, The yeah. Office.
It's not your though. West Wings. No, yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, very good. Fantastic. What episode are we talking about, Tom?
So, in celebration of the comeback special, we are looking at... season 4, episode 22, Krusty Gets Cancelled, where Krusty gets cancelled, has a comeback special. Hooray!
Absolutely, yeah. Not the kind of cancelled listeners that you get these days.
Yeah, cancelled from network television.
Yeah, not from culture. Like,
yeah, it's not like like Graham Linehan or something.
Lawrence Fox.
Yeah.
And better we are without them, I would argue.
And yeah, this went out over about 31 years this year. Jesus. May the 13th, 1993.
We have lived too long.
We have
dust. Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, let's get started, shall we? Chalkboard on this one. I wasn't that into it. I will not charge admission to the bathroom.
Yeah, take notes. Filed, council. Used to piss me off.
Yeah, 20p for a toilet in Fleetwood.
50p, I think.
50. I think it was 30p when me and you went to watch Dundee United in Fleetwood, and we rocked that system by me holding the door open for you so you could go in after
classic,
me.
Classic hey, tactics.
Absolute bother boys that we were that day. Yeah. And the couch gag was Annette comes and grabs them all up again. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Near the end of the series, just chucking an easy one in there.
That's right, yeah. We we head to the beach, Springfield Harbour, where the sewage meets the sand.
Indeed. Very much Tory like
Britain.
Yeah, very much like Britain today. Where's Fergal Sharkey when you need him?
What?
He's like the main voice against the polluted waterways.
Is he really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh wow, I didn't know that. No, I had absolutely no idea about that.
And they play
fantastic.
At the harbour playing Springfield Squares.
Yeah, which of course is Celebrity Squares, isn't it, as we would know it.
Yeah, and Hollywood Squares in America. Do you, can you remember who presented Celebrity Squares? Because I couldn't.
Celebrity Squares, was that not Bob Monkhouse?
It was Bob Monkhouse.
Oh, right,
In my head, it was Des O'Connor.
Right, okay. Similar looking lads, aren't they?
Yeah, around the time they said, like, in 1993, they were very much the cornerstone of the prime time television quizzes. Take your pick. That was one with Des O'Connor.
Yeah.
I can't remember what Bob Bunkhouse did. Did he do Wipeout?
He might have done Wipeout at the start, before he did. Not a lot. Bob Monkhouse did Bob's something. There was a couple of things where it was Bob's such and such. You know, he got his name above the title.
Bob's your uncle was one. That's very much an Alan Partridge thing. When he pitched it.
It's just a title at the minute.
Obviously, Bob Monkhouse had like a big book full of ideas and jokes.
Yeah, he got nicked. I'm sure we've done that on this show. I'm pretty certain we've done that.
I mean, we can't remember. It's so long since we've done anything. So,
Look, listeners, if you're binging these, you're just hearing the same things over and over again. In the squares, there's a few people. We go to the Arnold sound-alike Rainier Wolfcastle. He says, you know, I'm in a new film. Help, my son is a nerd. I found out my son is a nerd. Sounds hilarious. It's not a comedy.
His son returns from a fancy East Coast college. He's horrified to find he's a nerd. Very much like the very bad GB News clip of Lee Anderson's joke about his son coming back from uni a vegetarian.
Yeah.
Painful.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely disgusting. I've seen I've seen more clips of that than I have of anything in the last year. Because he just sits in a pub drinking shit lager. It's like drinking Madry or something.
Yeah.
Isn't he? He's one of these blokes that goes to Spain and orders a pint of Madry. And they go, care? the guy is he's atrocious, isn't he? He's just awful. He's a man who wants to bring back public hanging.
Yeah. Certain corners of Wetherspoons or something that might be popular.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. £2.50 pints of Madry. Anyway, there's a tidal wave for some. Is there a tidal wave? Have I missed? For some reason, my notes are all over the shop. 50-foot tidal wave. Yeah, comes along, and they want to head up the squares.
All game shows off the beach. That's the warning.
It's pretty good. I was into that. So they head up to Barry White's. Barry White Square, isn't it? It's safe and sexy. Oh, baby. I quite like that. There's this character, Charlie Weaver. It's like, come on up, Charlie. There's no time. You know, there's no time. Yeah. I've been in this square near 30 seasons. I ain't a leaving now. Have you ever heard of Charlie Weaver?
I haven't, no.
No. And this is such a strange thing for me to discover. Charlie Weaver isn't a real person. But a character voiced by Cliff Arquette. Cliff Arquette died in 1974, so it's a real deep pull from the writers to have this character who is a character based upon somebody who died 20 years before this started. He's also the grandfather of the Arquette acting dynasty.
Dynasty,
yeah, absolutely. And as the wave comes in, it takes him, and Homer's line is, perfection. He's dead now.
And then we are introduced to Gabbo.
Yeah. So this advert, Gabbo, like Gabbo.
Viral marketing, or
yeah, before it was ahead, a thing.
Ahead of its time.
Yeah. What's Gabbo? I figure it's some guy's name.
Gabbo is coming.
Some guy called Gabbo. Which I really liked.
Everyone is saying Gabbo this and Gabbo that, but nobody's saying worship this and Jericho that.
Yeah, no, I use that a heck of a lot when I'm using Frinkiac. I use that a lot to put in, you know, if, I don't know, somebody famous dies and somebody slightly less famous but generally better dies around about the same time, I'll always do that. Or if someone's crowing about like a game or film release, I'll always do that, you know, for the one that people don't like so much.
Yes.
But I absolutely love that. I also love, look, Smithers, Garbo is coming. Garbo. Yes, sir. Greta Garbo had been dead 3 years by the time this aired, so arguably she wasn't coming anywhere.
In my head, I thought she died like 40 years ago.
Yeah. Well, pretty much, yes, not far off. from now anyway.
And then we get to Gabo.
Yeah.
He'll tell us what to do.
What is
with
Gabo?
Arthur Crandall. I can't say the fucking word.
Ventriloquist dummy. Yeah.
A ventriloquist dummy.
Which is easy for you to say, Tom, but then you haven't got a hand up your tuckers.
Yes. Oi.
Ventriloquism, ever been something you've been a fan of yourself?
Is it? Does anybody like it?
Well, I can assure you, in the 70s, 80s, and 90s in British TV, it was pretty big. I've got a few that I pulled from the top of my head. Keith Harrison Orville.
Do you remember? I just found that was a real bird. So.
He went blue towards the end of his career. Do you remember playing student unions and that?
Yeah, that good, the classic career trajectory.
Yeah, yeah. Bernie Clifton and his comedy ostrich.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
That's unearthing memories. That's very old, yeah.
Yeah. Ray Allen and Lord Charles. This one might be a bit too old for you. Ray Allen was like an old man with this old man, posh old man puppet. Ray Allen died in 2010. Lord Charles might still be alive, you silly arse. He used to go, you silly arse. Yeah, it's probably not funny, but I sat and giggled my way through probably about 15 minutes worth of it on YouTube.
I was just thinking of Friday Night Dinner and Lord Luck.
Bagger off! Bugger off! Well, that must be what that's based on. That has to be based on.
It makes sense now, yeah.
Lord Charles, yeah. If anybody out there remembers Ray Allen and Lord Charles, please, look, get in touch with us, because I'm desperate to think that I've still got half of a fingertip on the pulse of something. Paul Zurdon's your modern British day puppeteer. I say modern. He was kind of like the 90s version, wasn't he? And he's shit. And then there's the racist American one with the dead terrorist thing that was big in the 2000s. Do you remember that?
No.
Ahmed the dead terrorist. I don't know what the guy's called, but it was really racist.
Just sounds like it go down well in America.
Yeah, such an American thing. Yeah. Gabo's got a song.
He has. He's a bad little boy.
Yeah, he is a bad little boy. Yeah. So you're gonna love him, you're gonna like him, blah 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 blah. And it said the line is even ask. Let's ask Vince Scully or something.
I can imitate Vince Scully.
That's it. I can imitate Vince Scully, and he says, "Let's take time out from this triple play to talk about Farmer Dan's pork York sausages." Any ideas?
I did look up who Vince Scully was. I was thinking of Hugh Scully. He's the
from the news. Shot. Oh, Antiques Roadshow, yeah.
But Vince Scully,
I was thinking about that. Like, I was thinking about Hugh, whatever his name was, that paid underage prostitutes.
As a bit. Oh yeah, yeah. We don't mention his name. We'll get sued. Vince Scully died August 2022.
Right.
He was the voice of the Dodgers from 1950 to 2016. Yeah. He followed them from Brooklyn to LA.
Right.
I remember reading a fact about him. It come familiar then, that he'd called a game where the coach was born in like the 1860s, and at the end of his career, where a player was born in 1996. So there was like 130 years worth of players in there, and apparently played baseball against old George H.W. Bush at Yale.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Shaming it at him with a bat. 1860s, cowboy times, isn't it? You know,
that'll be the old...
Victorian age. The only thing I had about him that you've not got is he was married to Joan Crawford. Not the Oscar-winning Joan Crawford, just some woman called Joan Crawford. Because I started going down a long list of facts about Joan Crawford and realised that actually it doesn't matter. It absolutely doesn't matter. The downside to this is that he's on at the same time as Krusty every day, 4 p.m. Krusty says, "The dummy doesn't scare me. I've had plenty of guys come after me and I've buried them all. Hobos, sea captains, Joey Bishop."
Yeah, I didn't know Joey. I had to look up who Joey Bishop was.
Yeah, the least decent one of the Rat Pack.
Did you know who he was?
Yeah. Yeah, he's the. That's all I've got on him. Is he was in the Rat Pack, and he was the one I'd never really heard of. Also, and don't forget the Special Olympics.
Yeah.
And I thought, hang on a second. When was the Special Olympics renamed the Paralympics? It wasn't. The two completely
two separate things. Yeah,
yeah. This blew me away. It's the world's largest sports organisation for children and adults with intellectual disabilities. Whereas the Paralympics,
he slaughtered them.
He did. He slaughtered them.
But yeah. Not now. Because he wants to Channel Ocho.
No. Channel Ocho. I got to steal that bit.
Yeah. Das Forever's Popovod.
The Bumblebee Man. Yeah. Yeah, as I'm just back 2 weeks ago from Spain, I knew what that meant.
Yeah, I just felt like dos cervezas, por favor.
You better believe it. Dos plates of them Canarian potatoes, por favor. Yeah, loads of that. And Madri, lots of Madri. I learned Ocho means eight. Ocho is channel eight. The boys are sat playing Scalextrics. I haven't thought about Scalextrics for ages.
It's not something I associate with America.
No.
So I did some research to find that it was first unveiled in Harrogate.
Oh, right.
In 1957. Wow. But it's like a common thing known as slot cars. So maybe that's more generic thing that they have.
Okay.
In America.
Yeah, American slot cars.
But yeah, putting a train on there and crud.
And it melts, let's put some crud on it. I did Google what's crud, by the way. The Oxford Dictionary describes it as a substance which is considered unpleasant or disgusting, typically because of its dirtiness.
Yeah, that's dust and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, reminds me, once me and my sister put a little toy car in the microwave once.
Oh!
Similar vibes.
Right.
To that.
You didn't blow up the microwave?
There was some blue sparks.
Yeah.
And then we turned it off.
Ooh.
But that was fun.
Absolutely.
When I was about six.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I was 32, but okay.
Crusty's got to fight fire with fire.
Oh, he absolutely has, yeah.
So you want ventriloquism, do you? And there he is with Alphonse.
Oh, Alphonse is horrifying. Alphonse is this broken down old fucking thing, isn't he? You know,
the dummy can't hurt you.
He's not even alive. He's dead. They throw him into the crowd of kids.
It's got a riddle for him. Why is a raven like a writing desk?
Okay.
We don't get the answer from Alphonse because he's dead. It's a quote from attributed to Lewis Carroll.
Okay. Yeah.
And it says, because it can produce a few notes, though they are very flat. So, yeah. I wouldn't open with it.
No, absolutely not. It's terrible.
So it's not his best work.
No, and absolutely that, not. And the kids aren't going to have a time with that, will they? You know, they certainly won't. But that doesn't work, so instead, here's the deal. Every time you watch my show, I'll send you 40 books.
Text will not be honoured.
He's got this catchphrase, hasn't he, the puppet? Gabbo's got a catchphrase.
Yeah. So I did say...
Yes, you did. Absolutely, you did. Yeah, you did. Yeah, yeah. I'm a bad little boy, and everybody uses this, and it's okay, including Diamond Joe. We always like a bit of Diamond Joe. I admit I use the city treasury to fund the murder of my enemies, but as Gabbo would say, I'm a bad little boy.
Yeah, it's very much like that. I didn't do it.
I didn't do it. Yeah.
And yeah, as of any. I'm trying to think of like politicians using catchphrases. The only one I could think of is David Cameron saying "Calm down, dear," from the advert with Michael Winner.
Yeah,
I'm sure Michael Winner has been mentioned on this podcast like more than once, which is more than enough.
He does get a lot of mentions. What about bigoted woman? Gordon Brown, of course. That's pretty much the catchphrase of his. Of his time, but there's then there's all the kind of like the standards that they would put out, you know, make America great again. But that was Donald Trump ripped that off from David Cameron. We're going to make Britain great again.
Yeah, it's a slogan as old as time.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I'm sure there's loads, and I just don't want to think about them. I've recently been listening to The Decade in Tory, because I wouldn't be able to read the book. I'd just be so angry I'd launch it through a window. But when it's on my phone, it's a bit more bearable. But it's basically 21 hours of just the shit. 21 hours of just the awful stuff that's happened to this country over the last decade. Anyway, we're not here to talk about that.
No, absolutely not.
Itchy and Scratchy are on the Gabbo show now, which is very disappointing.
Or is it? When you've got the alternative on the Christmas show.
Eastern Europe's favourite cat and mouse team.
Worker and Parasite.
Right. I absolutely adore Worker and Parasite. I always have. It's scary, it's disgusting, it's wrong, I love it. And it's actually based upon, according to David Silverman, the character design was based on Dusan Vucic's Oscar-winning 1961 animated film, Surrogate, which is pretty good and is on YouTube for free. It's only about 12 minutes long. Yeah, it's only about 12 minutes long. How does it
compare to Worker and Parasite then?
It's basically a guy on a holiday, and it's loads of like shapes and weird things, and he blows up these shapes to turn them into food. These shapes are like balloons, and he blows them up to turn them into food. Then he turns two of them into women, and one of them's, you know, a slightly chubby woman, and so can't have that. And you know, then there's another skinny one. It's very of a time. Let's just say it's of a time. Yeah, the reaction meme I use all the time is Krusty with the fag hanging out of his mouth. What the hell was that?
It's a very good one.
Yeah,
and that's it. That's
yeah.
They've been cancelled.
They can be very proud because they never did a bad show, Tom. Never ever did a bad show,
except for the week when they had the co-host Ray J. Johnson.
I've been dreading this bit of the podcast all week, I'll be honest. You can call me Ray and you can call me Jay, right? Now, have you been away and watched this? Because we were talking about this earlier on today.
I watched a short 30-second clip on YouTube, and the top comment said, "Something that gets referenced a lot, this might be the least funny thing I've ever seen."
100%. The only positive I will say is that Billy Saluga, who played him, died last year. So surely nobody's still doing this.
Did. Age 85. And he was in Seinfeld, but I can't remember that, or I didn't see it.
How are you this week, Mr. Johnson?
Oh, you doesn't have to call me Johnson. My name is Raymond J. Johnson Jr. Now, you can call me Ray, or you can call me Jay, or you can call me Johnny, or you can call me Sonny, or you can call me Junie, or you can call me Ray J, or you can call me RJ, or you can call me RJJ, or you can call me RJJ Junior. But you don't have to call me Johnson.
But it did make me think of Please Don't Call Me Washed Up, I Do Three Shows a Day. Which, if you remember, is when they go to Branston, Missouri.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's him, and that's actually signed by him. He was talent coordinator on Steve Allen's show in the 60s.
Steve Allen.
Steve Allen, that'll come back.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of Steve Allen.
It's disgusting. I just don't get it. I don't get how anybody ever thought that was funny, but, you know.
So, yeah, Krusty's out of TV.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to see a television... What was the word? Expert?
A behemoth of television, American TV.
Johnny Carson.
Johnny Carson. Yeah.
Hi-o. He didn't actually say that.
No, that was his mate, wasn't it?
Ed McMahon.
Ed McMahon, who I think also might have been a wrestling person, but maybe not. Imagine that.
Yeah, that must have been his.
His
younger brother.
I'm worried about the future. How do you deal with it? He says, well, you've been on TV longer than I have. I'm sure you've saved up quite a nest egg. Do they still buy human hair down at the wig shop? Johnny Carson. In the mid-70s, Carson was the highest paid television personality in show business, earning approximately $4 million a year.
Nice work. When was that?
In the 70s.
That's a lot, isn't it?
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of nest egg.
Yeah. Krusty, do you want to stay for dinner? Not sorry. He says, that's too bad. Tonight my guest will be Dr. Carl Sagan, and from the San Diego Zoo, Joan Embry.
Do you know them?
I don't know Joan Embry. Carl Sagan, famous American astronomer.
Yeah.
Possibly the second most famous astronomer. Not as famous, of course, as Patrick Moore.
Yeah, DOG, the Games Master.
That's right, yeah. Or I guess your man from D-Ream, if you must.
Yeah, Coxie.
Yeah. Oh, in space, amazing. So he's going for other jobs, which I quite like. He's on the set of Melrose Place.
Which is a street in Horsforth.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, because I used to see the sign all the time and think it's funny.
I can't imagine that's quite as sexy as Melrose Place, the TV show.
No.
Not that I ever watched. I've never seen a frame of it, but it ran for 7 seasons and 226 episodes.
I remember it being on Sky One in the 90s.
It was. I remember them advertising it very heavily.
So, I'd never watched it. And then back to, down the track as well. trying to get some money that way.
Yeah.
Doesn't work well.
You stupid horse. I got my last 10 bucks on you. No, don't look at me.
Reminiscent of my football accumulator today.
Oh, really? As good as that, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you backed Port Vale, didn't you?
No, why? Did Carlisle beat them?
Carlisle won. Yeah, Carlisle beat them 2-1, so that was good.
That's unexpected, yeah.
The
bounce that the owners got from senior.
Seeing me, being out for dinner with me last night, yeah.
Big name dropping there.
I know, yeah.
That's as glamorous as it gets.
Oh, it's as glamorous as it gets in Carlisle, I'll tell you. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the dizzying heights of 22nd in the league now, Carlisle. So,
wow.
Nosebleed territory for them. Krusty gets a call. It's a Gabbo crank call. And
patented Gabbo crank call.
Yeah.
Patented.
Yeah. But the line is, he stole this bit from Krusty. Oh, yeah, well, Krusty stole it from Steve Allen. It's kind of into. Steve Allen was somewhere here. Steve Allen was the first host of The Tonight Show. There you go.
And the prank call was with Johnny Carson to Jack.
Oh, right. Oh, wow.
Who was a previous. He presented The Tonight Show before Johnny Carson. And. Right. He knew it was them. It's quite funny, actually.
Yeah. Wow.
It all comes together, doesn't it? As funny as crank calls go.
It can be. Usually, yeah.
I don't know if you ever been victim of one, or have you ever done one?
No, I haven't, actually. It's never. No, because I think by the time I got round to all that, 1471 was all the rage. Star 69 in America.
Somebody got somebody with Buckingham Palace. They just left a number.
Oh, right.
020, their London number, just saying, can you ask to speak to Liz about such and such.
Jesus Christ.
And then I got one for Mr. Can you give Mr. Lion a call back?
So I googled
the number and it was Knowles' Safari Park.
It's like, nice.
Good
nice.
Luck with that.
What's funny about a lion? I don't know, tail.
And if you've never had a prank call, you could have had a prank fax.
Oh, a prank fax!
A waffle iron with a phone attached.
No, know. I'm quite keen to know how that would work. Would you get a tasty fax?
Yeah, just don't get them the wrong way around and put your face on the waffle iron.
Krusty says, is this the callback for that porn film? I was a little nervous that day, but I'm all man, I can assure you. It's a Japanese camera company. They want to pay him $2 million to do a camera commercial. And, yeah, I've written it, but I'm not going to say it, because it's not. It's not good. I hope you didn't offend you. I need this bad enough to hit your head over the head with the phone. Yeah, and he continues to do it. If this is anyone but Steve Allen, you're stealing my bit. Which I quite liked. And in my own head, I'd got this bit as the same bit where Krusty says, I don't know, he upsets somebody and he goes, oh, well, excuse me. And he goes, Steve Martin on the phone.
Steve Martin, yeah. Not Steve Allen.
Yeah, but yeah, that was in my head for that. But that's the clown college. You can't eat that. Yeah, that's exactly what that is.
And then, yeah, two wrongs. Do two wrongs make a right?
They absolutely don't, Bart. No. So ruining Gabbo's career the way that he's ruined Krusty's is probably not the right thing to do.
But according to Homer, it is, right. And then he gets back to reading Rex Morgan, MD.
The prescription for the Daily Blues. I have no idea what that is. I didn't look that up.
Yeah, it's a long-running comic strip from the 1940s. In the Funnies.
Oh, really? Okay.
So I imagine like Andy Capp, the wife beating drunk.
The wife beating drunk. From Hartlepool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On his canoe.
Very good. So the plan is that Bart's going to catch Gabbo saying something he shouldn't say on the air. And when they cut, he says, oh, that ought to hold the little SOBs. And he keeps saying it over and over again.
Yeah.
Bart walks over to the camera guys laughing. Hey, Belly, what's so funny? There's the Charles Bronson character.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you won't be interested. It's too lowbrow. No, I'm quite lowbrow. Somebody wrote a bawdy limerick on the men's room wall. This I gotta see.
Yeah, fair enough.
Bawdy limericks? Are you into bawdy limericks?
I don't think you get enough limericks nowadays.
No, I guess maybe it's cultural appropriation. I got a friend from Limerick.
From Limerick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they have limericks in Limerick. The only person I can think of from Limerick is Terry Wogan. Blind Boy.
Blind Boy. I knew you were going to go with that. Yeah.
And a brilliant accent.
Absolutely fantastic.
And I won't try and do it.
Oh, no, you mustn't. There was a young woman from Leeds who swallowed a packet of seeds. You know how that goes. Yeah. There once was a man from Pawtucket, is the other one, isn't it?
the connection dropped then, and I thought he was doing a limerick accent.
Right, no, I wasn't. No, I wasn't.
But it was just the body limerick. That ought to hold the little SOBs was based on an urban myth.
Oh!
From Don Carney, who had a radio show in the 40s and allegedly said, that ought to hold the little bastards.
Right.
But it never happened.
Oh, right!
It was made up. But it's kind of just took hold that's something he said. But apparently he never did.
Okay.
And then... Krusty's not making any money on the street.
Oh, we'll drop pants for food. I know, like that. But that guy's giving it away for free.
Yeah, singing old grey mare. Shit, what she used to be.
Yeah.
Which is a 19th century American folk song.
Yeah.
Which I've only ever heard in this Simpsons episode.
Okay. I heard it in the documentary show The Civil War, Ken, whatever he's called, the American documentarian who does various parts of time. He did a Vietnam one as well, but it's in the background of that. I've heard it in that the Civil War kind of thing. It's really dry, but it's really good if you have any interest in that. The Vietnam one's good too, if not a bit grim.
Yeah, Vietnam sounds interesting.
Yeah. Some authors have said the song originated from the performance of the horse Lady Suffolk, the first horse recorded as trotting a mile in less than 2.5 minutes. It occurred on the 4th of July, 1843, at the Beacon Course racetrack in Hoboken, New Jersey.
Lovely.
Furthermore, that old grey mare is dead now.
Very much so. Mm. Krusty is pissed off that nobody remembers him anymore.
Yeah.
Just like, what's his name and who's it? That guy that always wore a shirt.
He did always wear a shirt. Ed Sullivan.
That's the one.
They got looking through his pictures. I didn't know you knew Luke Perry. Know him. He's my worthless half-brother.
Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah.
Bette Midler.
Yeah, they owned a racehorse together.
Yeah. Crudler. Love that.
If we get all these big stars to appear on the special with Krusty, it might get his career going again, says Lisa. Here's my address book. Go and get those stars. He says, it's not going to be easy, but I'm going to claw my way back onto TV. And now we see the crazy old men singers. It's just the same thing.
Brilliant.
It's pretty good.
And then we're on the road with Bette Midler.
Yeah.
Doing some cleaning. Litter picking.
Yeah.
She was an early patron of the Adopt a Highway program.
Oh, right. Okay.
Which, according to my thorough research, Wikipedia, it was also featured, it was something that Kramer did in Seinfeld as well.
Right.
A fictional highway.
Right,
somewhere.
Okay. I remember when they knocked her out in the baseball game. I remember that much. Yeah. Bette Midler's in that. I found out that she founded the New York Restoration Project in 1995 by picking up trash in a park, and the Restoration Project purchased 114 community gardens in New York City in 1999.
That's
from
very
their
nice.
Website. So that does a lot of kind of like community work in the city in probably the less salubrious kind of areas.
Well done.
Yeah, so well done, Miss Midler. Fantastic. She thinks, as Americans, they deserve clean highways.
Yeah, it's time to take out the trash.
It's time to take out the trash. I'll get you for this, Midler! Which I think about every time I see Bette Midler in anything. It's pretty good. She's in. She's going to do it.
And then it's off to Hugh Hefner's Shelbyville pad.
Right, Hugh Hefner strikes me as the kind of man that would live in Shelbyville, didn't he?
Yeah.
You know, he's just awful, awful human being. Don't read too much into Hugh Hefner and, like, the Playboy Mansion, because wish you hadn't. Disgusting, dirty, horrible man, basically. You would expect from a pornographer, I guess.
Yeah, I was going to say, what about the Alternative Energy Research Centre?
I don't think it's real. I don't think it exists. But, the biosphere. Yeah.
Or it's greenwashing.
Is it green? Oh, very good. Yeah, absolutely it is. Didn't do too many facts on Hugh Hefner other than he was a piece of shit. But I did have to question, who do you think the British version of Hugh Hefner is?
Peter Stringfellow?
It's exactly who I plumped for. Peter Stringfellow dead now, of course. Apparently a master... amassed a £37 million empire, but once he'd paid off everything to debtors, once it'd been paid out by probate to debtors, he only left just over £1 million.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
And he still couldn't afford a decent haircut.
No, absolutely not. He looked like he should be training tigers in a Vegas magic show, didn't he?
Strong look.
Yeah, well, it's certainly something.
And then we move on to Moe's. And the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, I'd zoomed out of this. I'd forgotten this bit was here when I was doing my notes. I haven't written anything about
it. I used to love this bit because I used to really like Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Because they were good. They were really good.
And as a one of the first bands I got into, so it was like very exciting that they were in The Simpsons. With Moses doesn't hold 30,000 people.
No, they had 30,000 just last week.
But Barney's there. We want Chilly Willy.
Yeah, I think about that a lot as well.
And I was looking at like who was the lineup in the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Anthony Kiedis, Flea, Chad Smith, and then Eric Marshall.
Okay.
So he was in. It was when John Frusciante, can't say his name. He left for a bit because he enjoyed a lot of heroin, I think.
Right.
And then Dave Navarro replaced him, but this guy was like in the middle, like the.
Oh right. Okay.
Caretaker guitarist.
Like when the bassist out of New Order's Son joined the Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah, I went to see the Smashing Pumpkins. They're more or less back to the original, or like the best lineup now.
Oh, right, okay.
Darcy. Mm-hmm. But when I went and saw him, it was Billy Corgan and like these 20-year-olds. Didn't know there was a New Order link, though.
The British Red Hot Chili Peppers, if I had to press you to decide who the British Red Hot Chili Peppers are.
Oh. I don't know.
It's got to be Jamiroquai, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't think you can have a Red Hot Chili Peppers from outside of California.
No, well,
I don't think it'd work.
Certainly, you couldn't sing any songs about anywhere other than California, could they?
I did once ask ChatGPT to write a Red Hot Chili Peppers song about Yorkshire.
Right.
And it was very, you could imagine it, California, Yorkshire.
Yeah.
Kind of worked.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
That's what I've been doing with it. That's what I've been doing in the last year.
Oh, great. I mean, time well spent. I think you'll all agree, listeners. So they get him out of the gig just by going to Mo. Look over there. What am I looking at? Homer comes in. Can I look too? Sure, but it'll cost you. Now back to the wall. Liz Taylor isn't interested. Well, she's told that the kids were there to be on the Krusty special. But her agent told them to quote unquote buzz off.
Buzz off, good word. Not heard that. Not heard that for. That's like a proper 90s.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe when you've been protected from bad language.
Yeah, I guess so. Buzz off. The kids go to see Krusty or wreck off. And Krusty's in a bad way. He thought he'd get in shape, so he's been drinking nothing but milkshakes.
Yeah, not those diet milkshakes.
No. Well, as a man that's got to start on the diet milkshakes tomorrow.
I was going to say, as we are recording this January the 1st, I look and feel like what Krusty does at that point, I think.
I mean, I look and feel like that all the time anyway, so it doesn't matter. But her sister's getting married later this month, so I need to shift six pounds if I can in the next few weeks. They offer to have Krusty stay with them, and Homer says, you can sleep on the sofa. It folds right out.
Every time there's like a fold-out sofa somewhere, I just think of that. Because I think, does this actually fold out?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure in remembering that you slept on the fold-out sofa in Derby that I had when I lived in Derby.
The glory days
in the front room. Now that was the most uncomfortable sofa bed in the world. That was a horrible, disgusting thing. I'm glad we don't have that here.
No.
Krusty's practicing throwing pies to get his aim back, and there's a hot one, and he throws it, hits Homer in the face, but then he just goes, "Ooh, delicious." Homer and Krusty are boxing. They're doing this boxing training, and Gabbo comes on the TV, and of course Krusty gets punching him about. Now they change the channel to what, Tom?
To the business news.
Yeah.
And the news that pork prices rose in early trading today.
Right. Which of course causes Homer to start punching the fuck out of Krusty, and the ghost of Liz Truss to come out of the fucking woodwork. Of course, can't talk about pork markets without the ghost of Liz Truss. Fucking hell. Yeah. She just won't. She refuses to go, doesn't she, old Liz? Yeah.
Pork prices rose in early train today, and so did your mortgage.
Yeah, oh, sad face. As a man who's just got a new mortgage, that's not great. Krusty's begging Sideshow Mel to come back. You always treated me rather shabbily. You've poured liquid nitrogen down my pants and cracked my buttocks with a hammer.
Yeah, don't deserve that shabby treatment.
No, the squeaky voice teen drops a taco in the fryer.
Yeah, bunch of dorky teenagers.
Yeah. Krusty, I like it here. Mr. Johansson treats me with dignity. It's great. This clown bothering you, Mel, is a great line. It's just a little bit kind of a little bit barbed.
I noticed in the background the menu for the Gulp and Blow.
Right.
Where they are. That is. Not a
not a house of ill repute.
Yeah. Well, you can get a blow burger for $1.89 and a taco combo for $3.49.
Okay. So that burger, if it's made of pork, will probably go up in price in the next couple of days.
Absolutely, yeah. A Big Mac meal in 1993 was $2.99.
Oh.
So yeah, it's kind of about there. I always remember those meals being like $2.99.
Yeah, they were for like donkeys, yeah.
But absolutely. I got two Matt Plant meals the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And it is very little change out of 20 quid.
Jesus Christ.
It was via Uber Eats.
Oh, was it?
When we were drunk, yeah.
I just absolutely refused to, because the prices are just... But then, I guess...
Desperate times.
Since I've moved, I can no longer walk to McDonald's in 10 minutes. This comes out of my salary. If I had a girlfriend, she'd kill me.
Yeah.
It's good. They're doing the balloon thing, practicing the balloon modelling. Krusty does a horsey, yeah. And Luke Perry does a 19th century carousel, which is pretty good. Luke Perry, by the way, the actor, Tom, is from Mansfield.
Mansfield?
Mansfield, Ohio. Not Nottinghamshire.
Not North Nottinghamshire.
No, not at all.
Didn't think he had the accent.
No, he hasn't been done, no. He says, look, there must be something we can do on the show, please, for Mum's sake. Maybe we can find something. And there's this shooting him out of a cannon thing, isn't there?
Yeah.
And I thought, he goes through, is it a sandpaper museum?
He goes through... Well, yeah, later on.
Is that later? Okay. Cannon, yeah. Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
And then we see... Oh.
Gabbo's upset because Johnny Carson, Bette Midler and Hugh Hefner are all going to be on the show. And what have we got? Ray J. Johnson. And I like the, oi, yay, yay, yay. The head spinning around is a great bit of sound. They're talking to Krusty's talking to the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Would you mind changing the lyrics for the show? Forget you, clown. Our lyrics are like our children, man. He wants to change it for what?
He wants to change it to what I'd like is I'd like to hug and kiss you.
And like, everyone can enjoy that, Tom.
Yeah, like what I've got to
kind of get and put it in you.
Yeah, can't speak.
Krusty Comeback Special. We do bring in the clowns. Sorry, send in the clowns.
Send in those.
One of the very few songs that actually makes me cry, Tom. Send in the clowns. Steve Sondheim song for the 1973 musical A Little Night Music.
I prefer Tears of a Clown.
Oh, nice!
By the beat.
By the beat. Yeah.
Or Smokey Robinson.
Yeah. Smokey's
the beat version's good.
Yeah, I like the beat version.
And then we get Luke in the cannon.
Oh, we do, absolutely. So, yeah, he fires him through the sandpaper museum.
Displaying the quick amount of half-price acid. I loved. Sandpaper factory and the pillow factory, which is a nice soft landing. But then it gets imploded or exploded.
Implosion. I did think if he was in Sunderland or St Helens, he'd end up getting fired through a glass museum, yeah. Possibly.
Yeah, the world of glass.
Yeah.
I still need to go there. I'm very close to St Helens now.
Oh, right, yeah. So I've never been to the Sunderland one. I really should.
Yeah.
That's only down the road.
But yeah, the Red Hot Chili Peppers dancing around in their underwear. That is so degrading.
30 seconds to your little stinker sketch.
And he needs a bigger lolly.
He does need a bigger lolly. Johnny Carson is lifting a 1987 Buick Skylark over his head. Hi-o!
Whilst singing an aria from Carmen.
From Carmen, that's right. Yeah. Couldn't find a 1987 Buick Skylark for sale, Tom. But, you're not going to believe this, I did find a 1971 for sale in York.
Wow.
13,500. So next time you're in the office, go and grab it for us, eh?
Yeah, and they weigh 2,000 kilos, so not mean feet.
Oh, right, so you're not going to lift it above your head then.
Yeah, but yeah, Buick, we don't get them in Europe, but they're owned by General Motors.
Okay.
Who have said, amongst other things, on the GM Vauxhall conference.
Jesus Christ. I'm more of an Opel man myself, but okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The old for our friends in Ireland.
Mm.
If we've got any.
Liz is watching it on the TV, and she says, I've really got to fire that agent. Liz Taylor, of course, winner of 2 Academy Awards, Tom, for Best Actress, in the films Butterfield 8 and Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, films you've definitely never seen.
No, I haven't.
And was, of course, married to Richard Burton. No one would have believed in the early years of the 21st century that our world was being watched by intelligences greater than our own.
Famously married to a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. Famously married to Richard Burton about 7 times. Yeah.
And why not?
Jesus, did she wasn't married to David Coleman, was she?
Yeah, Coleman. Not the
Coleman.
Yeah,
Empire. You've got your. Yeah, she's got. Just look at her with that hand. She's like a JCB. You've got your Burtons, you've got your Colemans. Somebody says, well done, Krusty, you deserve an Emmy for this. Forget it, the Academy hates me, and I don't know why. Bunch of old know-nothing dinosaurs. Wouldn't know entertainment if it bit them in the... Hey!
And that was after singing with Bette Midler.
I missed my wings.
Which Bette Midler recorded in the film Beaches. Mm. But it just reminds me of Phoenix Nights. And Brian Potter singing Wind Beneath My Wheels.
Just to
Beverly.
Just you wait till I get you upstairs. Just you wait. The things I'm going to do to you.
Not a dork, are you? Didn't used to be.
Jesus. That's not aged well, has it?
No, it hasn't.
Wind Beneath My Wings, written in 1982 by Jeff Silber and Larry Henley. The 1988 version, as you said, is in the film Beaches. It was gold in Australia, UK... and platinum in the States. Didn't chart this one, Tom, in the Stupid Sexy Flanders.
Damn.
Disappointingly. It would have been nice if we'd come back with something that charted in that.
Back to pub.
Yeah, Krusty's been basically told, hopefully you're saving your money now. Here's the Ruby Study Clown Nose you ordered, Kay. Oi! Motels off the Chili Peppers for coming in their pants, but it turns out that
Dr. Hibbert and Chief Wiggum are there.
They are indeed.
Good, if it feels good, do it.
Yeah.
It's like, have you ever seen anyone just wearing pants in the pub? Kind of thing happen in Carlisle.
I mean, it is the kind of thing that would happen in Carlisle. I guarantee that at some point during lambing, you end up going to the pub and somebody's bought a lamb that's been not taken on by its mother, and they're feeding a lamb in the... I'm not kidding. I've seen it. Not every year, but I've seen it about 3 or 4 times since I moved to Carlisle. Carlisle is just... It's a law unto itself. It really is.
The only thing I can think of seeing somebody... in a pub in the pants was somebody at a urinal just
trousers down around their ankles.
Brilliant.
That was in Bradford.
Of course it was. Of course it was in Bradford.
The Ginger Goose.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Not the best of pubs. Yeah, exactly. I don't know how to thank you, kids. That's all right, Krusty. We're getting 50% of the T-shirt sales.
The sweetest plum.
It's the sweetest plum indeed. I'm hoping to launch some T-shirts for the 100 Things podcast this year, and I'm hoping that it's the sweetest plum. They say, oh, what the hell, you deserve it. Thanks, kids. Here's to Krusty, the greatest entertainer in the world, except maybe that guy. And your man is...
Here's Johnny.
Carson's doing the... A bench?
Yeah, like with a table.
Grandpa.
Big bit of board.
Yeah. Like, is this the bus to the Civic Centre?
Woodstock 99.
Yeah. And, the song is Goodnight Ladies. But I couldn't find a single thing about this song. Because there's been like 4 or 5 different songs released in the last 100 years called Goodnight Ladies. And I just couldn't find it.
And you didn't go and listen? Did you listen to them all?
No, because I was busy listening to bloody Bob Dylan talking about Ray J. Johnson.
Ray.
And then I still did, you know, hey, you can call me Bobby and you can call me Middle. Yeah, but we got to get served somebody. That I didn't even put it in the podcast notes. Fucking hell. Two of the worst things that I could possibly have to listen to today. Ray J. Johnson and Bob Dylan. I despise the work
singing
of Bob
about
Dylan.
Ray J. Johnson.
Ray J. Johnson thing has made me so angry today. It's really ruined my fucking day. So I hope, if nothing else, listeners, you've enjoyed joining us on this.
Good night, ladies.
Absolutely. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, indeed, and all in between.
Good night, sweetheart.
Jesus Christ. I recently saw Nicholas Lyndhurst in a screenshot from that new Frasier TV show. I mean, I'm not watching that new Frasier TV show to see who Nicholas Lyndhurst is in it. But they were drinking pints in bevelled pint mugs, so...
Brilliant. Like the nice said.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Right, well, look, I don't know about you, listeners, but I've had a fucking great time. Tom, you?
It's good to be back.
It's...
Guess who's big in the back time?
Hello, it's good to be back. It's good to be... Oh, you can't do that anymore, can you?
Yeah, that's cancelled. He's cancelled.
Yeah. And hopefully we'll be back at some point later in the year with another episode.
Yeah, or if we haven't been next year.
Yeah, we'll see you in a year.
And let us know. Are we on social media?
Oh yeah, we're on Twitter or whatever the hell that's called now. I'll set up some accounts and we'll maybe do a couple of bits and pieces. I'll get us on Blue Sky.
Yeah, the 100 Things film. Sky.
Yeah, good. Yeah, if you
Instagram and Threads.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you're interested in more of this nonsense but less of Tom, then you can listen to me and John talk on 100 Things We Learn From Film, and that is 100thingsweLearnFromFilm.co.uk for all of our links and all that kind of stuff. Tom, thank you so much. It's been a ball.
Yeah, thank you very much. And if you're still listening now, well done, and thank you very much.
Yeah, so an hour of your time badly spent.
Yes.
See ya.
Bye.